Father, we thank you for the access that we have to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And so together with him, Father, we pray here today on behalf of the land in which we live in a special way, asking you to be gracious and merciful to our nation in these days, where we find ourselves so desperately in need of your grace and your healing and the help that only heaven can give. So we ask that you would rouse us to do all that we can as members of the body of Christ, to put calluses on our knees in the days and weeks and months ahead, to implore your help and your mercy for our country. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to make a proposal to our parish. I'd actually like to make a proposal to the entire archdiocese, for that matter, to the whole church throughout the country, but that's beyond my responsibility, so I'll just make a proposal to us as a family. The proposal comes in large part as a result of just my own prayer over the last couple of weeks, especially while I was away on vacation, as I just continue to watch and read and listen to all that's taking place in the land in which we live, not just on a political level, but certainly including on a political level. In a large way, the proposal is prompted by just my own meditation on the works of four authors. So what I'd like to do this morning is share first the words of three of those authors, move to the proposal concretely, and then end with the words of the fourth and final author. Because the words of the authors are, I think, so crucial and important to get right, I don't want to paraphrase them, so if you'll indulge me, I actually want to read them verbatim. And I'll warn you, they're kind of lengthy. So first, as the safety and prosperity of nations ultimately and essentially depend on the protection and the blessing of Almighty God, and on the national acknowledgement of this is not only an indispensable duty which the people owe to him, but a duty whose natural influence is favorable to the promotion of that morality and piety without which social happiness cannot exist, nor the blessings of free government be enjoyed. And as the United States of America as or are at present placed in a hazardous and afflictive situation, under these considerations, it has appeared to me that the duty of imploring the mercy and benediction of heaven on our country demands, at this time, a special attention from its inhabitants. I have therefore thought it fit to recommend that Wednesday, the 9th of May next, be observed throughout the United States as a day of solemn humiliation, fasting, and prayer, that the citizens of these states, abstaining on that day from their customary worldly occupations, offer their devout addresses to the Father of Mercies, that all religious congregations do with the deepest humility acknowledge before God the manifold sins and transgressions with which we are justly chargeable as individuals and as a nation, beseeching him at the same time of his infinite grace through the Redeemer of the world freely to remit all our offenses and to incline us by his Holy Spirit to that sincere repentance and reformation which may afford us reason to hope for his inestimable favor and heavenly benediction, that it be made the subject of particular and earnest supplication, that our country may be protected from all the dangers which threaten it, that our civil and religious privileges may be preserved inviolate, and perpetuated to the latest generations, that our public councils and magistrates may be especially enlightened and directed at this critical period, that the American people may be united in those bonds of amity and mutual confidence, and inspired with that vigor and fortitude by which they have in times past been so highly distinguished, and by which they have obtained such invaluable advantages, that the health of the inhabitants of our land may be preserved, and their agriculture, commerce, arts, and manufactures be blessed and prospered, that the principles of genuine piety and sound morality may influence the minds and govern the lives of every description of our citizens, and that the blessings of peace, freedom, and pure religion may be speedily extended to all the nations of the earth. And finally, I recommend that on the said day, the duties of humiliation and prayer be accompanied by fervent thanksgiving to the bestower of every good gift, not only for having protected and preserved the people of these United States in the independent enjoyment of the religious and civil freedom, but also for having prospered them in a wonderful progress of population, and for conferring on them many and great favors conducive to the happiness and prosperity of a nation. Given under my hand and seal of the United States of America at Philadelphia, this 23rd day of March, in the year of our Lord, 1798, and of the independence of the said states, the 22nd. President John Adams. For those who might have forgotten, President Adams' vice president was Thomas Jefferson. Perhaps our current understanding of the separation of church and state is not in accord with the understanding that the man who wrote that had in mind. Second author. Whereas the Congress of the United States, by a joint resolution of the two houses, have signed a request that a day may be recommended to be observed by the people of the United States with religious solemnity as a day of public humiliation and prayer. And whereas such a recommendation will enable the religious denominations and societies so disposed to offer at one and the same time their common vows and adorations to Almighty God, on the solemn occasion produced by the war, in which he has been pleased to permit the injustice of a foreign power to involve these United States, I do therefore recommend the third Thursday in August next as a convenient day to be set apart for the devout purposes of rendering to the sovereign of the universe and the benefactor of mankind the public homage due to his holy attributes, of acknowledging the transgressions which might justly provoke the manifestations of his divine displeasures, of seeking his merciful forgiveness, his assistance in the great duties of repentance and amendment, and especially of offering fervent supplications that in the present season he would take the American people under his peculiar care and protection, that he would guide their public councils, animate their patriotism, that he would inspire all nations with a love of justice and of concord, and with a reverence for the unerring precept of our holy religion to do to others as they would require others to do to them. And finally, that turning the hearts of our enemies from the violence and injustice which sway their counsels against us, he would hasten a restoration of the blessings of peace. Given at Washington the 9th day of July, in the year of our Lord, 1812, President James Madison. Finally, the third author. Insomuch as we know that by his divine law, nations, like individuals, are subjected to punishments and chastisements in this world, may we not justly fear that the awful calamity of civil war, which now desolates the land, may be but a punishment inflicted upon us for our presumptuous sins. We have been preserved these many years in peace and prosperity. We have grown in numbers, wealth, and power as no other nation has ever grown. But we have forgotten God. We have vainly imagined, in the deceitfulness of our hearts, that all these blessings were produced by some superior wisdom and virtue of our own. It behooves us then to humble ourselves before the offended power, to confess our national sins, and to pray for clemency and forgiveness. Given this 30th day of March in the year of our Lord 1863, President Abraham Lincoln. What I find so startling about all of these is that none of them came from a pulpit. They all came from the President of the United States. What I find doubly startling is there was a time in which everybody, or so it seemed, in our country understood that the only remedy for what ailed our nation at whatever time in these three periods of history was to turn to God, to fast, to repent, and to pray. Given that, here's what Father John and I would like to propose to us as a parish family. Three things. That starting this Wednesday through the conclusion of this calendar year, that we as a parish family fast every Wednesday until dinner. Meaning what? Meaning just drink liquids those days. For those of us who can't fast for whatever reason, health concerns, maybe we're pregnant, maybe we're of an age where we can't do that, maybe we can do something else. Maybe it's a cup of coffee that day that we don't have. But some way that we can all gather together, mindful that Jesus doesn't say in the Gospels, if you fast, he says, when you fast. And he tells us that certain things can only happen not only by prayer, but by prayer and fasting together. And not only because that's what the Lord has said, but because indeed the founding fathers and then their successors in our own country understood that those things were very commendable for us as a nation to do. So to fast together as a parish family every Wednesday. Second, that as many of us are able, gather together in here Wednesday evening at 6 o'clock to pray the rosary. Most especially turning to Our Lady under the title of Our Lady of Fatima in this, the 100th anniversary of her appearance. And second, invoking the intercession of Our Lady of Guadalupe and Our Lady under the title of the Immaculate Conception, that title which is her name for her patroness of the Americas. And third, that as many of us are able, break our fast, quite literally, by receiving the Eucharist that same night in Mass immediately after the Rosary. What we most need as a country is God. What we most need to do as members of the church is to pray. And to get on our knees and to stand in the gap for our leaders and our whole country, and perhaps especially for those who won't pray. Wouldn't it be something if we didn't have enough room in here every Wednesday night for all the people who will gather together to pray the rosary and to offer our prayers together with the prayers of Jesus to the Father for our land? Wouldn't it be something if news of this spreads throughout the archdiocese and more parishes join us and churches are full every Wednesday and knees hit the ground praying for mercy and repentance and forgiveness? Wouldn't it be something if news spreads beyond the archdiocese to parishes in the country, and collectively untold numbers of us gather together as a body, separated only by geography, turning our prayers to our Father through the intercession of Our Lady, and then in communion with our Lord Jesus. Imagine what might happen. Which leads me to the fourth author. If my people, who are called by my name, humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. That's God. And that's a promise.